coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. He's been a driving force to strengthen harness racing not only in New Brunswick but in Canada, working tirelessly on behalf of our sport. Finally, his good works are being recognized with a 2009 Cam Fellow Award, which will be presented to him at this year's O'Brien's on January 30th. Those that know him will tell you it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Ross Galbraith, my guest on this edition of Trot Radio. Ross Galbraith has had a lifelong affair with harness racing, and he's put his passion into action, not just as a participant, but someone who cares for the game and wants to see it move forward. He joins me on the other end of my line. Ross, welcome to Trot Radio, and of course, congratulations on the O'Brien.
Well, thank you, Norm. I really appreciate your call today.
Should point out it's a Cam Fellow that'll be handed out at the O'Brien, but certainly a very deserving individual. What's it like when you got the call?
Well, frankly, I was in shock. Kathy Wade-Vlar called me, and I think I said to her, "You're kidding, right?" I mean, this is such a great honor, and I truly do know what it means. I've always been so much in awe of the folks that have been, awarded this in the past, and people that have really just done so much for the industry, that to be included with them, kind of blows me away. Really, really, really honored by this.
Well, it's very deserving. I mean, you've seen some ups and downs in New Brunswick harness racing, but, you've managed to be not just a cheerleader, for lack of a better term, but you've been a real, let's call it, salesman for the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Like, I've always thought that the industry and the sport of horse racing, the people in it, have such a great story to tell, but a lot of times those stories don't get told. And really, a lot of what I've tried to do over the last number of years is just kind of tell some of those stories, whether it's the story, about the employment that's created, directly in the industry, folks that are at the racetrack, the trainers, drivers, grooms, to people more in agriculture, the farmers and people that are breeders, or the people that are raising, hay, or, growing hay and things like this. And it was really just kind of getting out there and talking to people, the public, and also the government about what this industry has to offer, and just kind of telling that story and giving a voice to it. I mean, the great things about our industry exist, but I think that a lot of times they're less apparent than they might have been in another day and age, and so we have to work harder to make sure people understand the impact that we do have. And if I've been able to tell that story a little bit, I've been pleased to do it.
Well, you've hit on very important points. At least they really ring home with me. One is telling the story of our sport, not just in a dollars and cents mode, which you've done to various trade groups and to government, but just telling the individual stories of the people in our game. I've always said that's where the thoroughbreds have it all over us, because they somehow manage every time, for example, there's a Kentucky Derby, they always manage to drag out that people angle to the race that gets you involved if you've only watched one horse race a year. And I really commend you on doing that.
I look at, I'll see things and I'll say, geez, what an incredible, amazing thing. And a lot of times, like, the people I know that have always done it, like, something is very ordinary to them. Mm. I look at it and I say, the public would be very interested in this. And in my what I do professionally, I occasionally do deal with the media, and a great story and anecdote is one time I was doing an interview with a member of the CTV News, mm-hmm. and about something related to work. And when that was all done and he was packing up his camera, I said, you should come to the racetrack this Saturday. They're retiring this 14-year-old horse. Mm. And he stops and he goes, "What do you mean retiring?" I said, "Well, horses, they can't, race forever. There's this mandatory retirement when they turn 15, they can't they can't race anymore. So this horse named Stony B, and it's the end of December, and it's going to be his last race." And he's like, "What?" He said, "I didn't know anything about this. Like, how many horses get to retire?" And I said, "Well, very few of them are still racing when they're 14. Mm-hmm. So to make a long story short, he did come down. It was a Saturday. He's looking for some news. He did a 3 or 4 minute piece, ATV News down here, 600,000 viewers. And when I ran into this guy about a month later, he said, "Look, Ross, I want to thank you so much for pointing me at that story." He said, "It was a great story, got a lot of positive feedback," and he said, "I loved doing it." Well, to a lot of horse people, okay, a horse retires. I mean, every year there's some that retire, and it's no big deal. But to the public or to a journalist, that is an interesting, intriguing story. And, he was able to not only, see the horse's last race, but he went and interviewed the trainer and the owner and whatnot. It was just a great human interest story. And the thing is, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories like that that just are crying to be told.
Bravo. You've seen some ups and downs in New Brunswick harness racing. Would you say the culmination of your involvement would be the formation of Horse Racing New Brunswick as an industry-run, government-supported body? Long overdue?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's a step in the right direction. It's not by any means the end of the journey. We certainly, like, I do think that the formation of that body, and I can't take, you know, credit by any means. There's a whole bunch of people here in New Brunswick that have been working very hard, and I was just one of many. But I know if we had not been able to pull that together, we would not be racing today in New Brunswick. You know, so basically, you know, that was a lifeboat. But what we need to do now is to move forward beyond that, because, you know, I'm not very comfortable with just hanging on to life preserver. You know, we need to get back on dry land.
What would that entail in terms of moving forward? What do you want to see? I know that there's some question as to what's going to happen to the track at the exhibition grounds. Can you fill us in on that?
Well, we've got some challenges. I mean, we've executed leases with the current owners. And, you know, going forward, we need to, you know, hopefully make that more of a permanent arrangement. But the other thing in St. John in particularly, we don't have infrastructure. We don't have a grandstand right now, and that's kind of limiting our ability to really move forward. Now, I think our wagering levels were up last year. You know, we had good racing. We stabilized the purse pools. But, you know, going forward, we need to grow those things. And we do need to figure out a way to, you know, have a grandstand or, you know, some kind of solution to that problem.
Do you think the government will help kick in to, when you do, it would appear, if you do have to move, either way, will there be a grandstand that will be partially at least government funded?
Well, you know, the problem is with governments, and it's the same with every government across this country, is that, you know, if it comes down, you know, they have a lesser amount of money to spend, right? And if it comes down to horses or hospitals, they'll probably pick hospitals, right?
Yeah.
So we need to figure out a way, you know, to go forward. Now, they've made a commitment to us of up to, I mean, you know, when you compare us to Ontario, it's small potatoes, but they made a commitment to up to $1 million a year. You know, I think we need to take a look at, you know, how can we best utilize that? You know, are there people that we can partner with? You know, maybe organizations that are involved in gaming. But at the end of the day, at some point, you know, I think we need to. I mean, the challenge that the sport faces right across this country is, you know, we are really, you know, tied to gaming revenue to make the business model work. And I think that we need to get back to one where, you know, horse racing is a profitable venture on its own right, you know, like it is in some other countries, you know, I'm thinking of France or New Zealand.
Right.
That's where we need to be. You know, so right now we kind of have, we're on the lifeboat, right? But we need to figure out how to get on dry land, and that's not just New Brunswick, it's everywhere.
Well, you're certainly taking it in the right direction, Ross, and for that alone, you deserve a lot of credit, and kudos to you. It's going to be a great night for you on January 30th in Toronto when you accept the O'Brien Award, the Cam Fellow Award at the O'Briens. Have a great night. Soak it all in. You deserve it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Like I said, it just blows me away to, you know, have been named for this. And, you know, I haven't done anything down here for this industry, you know, for things like that. I just always, you know, cared for the people in the sport, the horses, and the people that I've got to meet in it, and I grew up in it. And I just think it's such a wonderful sport that, you know, it's a pretty easy thing to fight for.
Best of luck, Ross Galbraith, and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Norm.
Take care now.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here, you see that? Now that's a guy who gets it. If anybody deserves the Cam Fellow Award, it's him. Ross Galbraith, thanks to him for being my guest on this edition of Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications.